Thank you for joining me for today's webcast. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. It is the 16th of May, 2012. Well, if you listened to yesterday's webcast, it ended abruptly with a phone call from the wife of a neighbor of mine, informing me that her husband was in the emergency ward in a local hospital. I immediately stopped the webcast and rushed to the hospital, only to find my friend of so many years laying there with, of course, the artificial lung in his lungs, and they were struggling to keep his blood pressure up. Needless to say, within an hour after I left the hospital, he had passed away. I want to talk to you a little bit about Hebrews 9:27 and 28. And I think that would be, because it rung home true for me. I just mentioned some things. My neighbor liked good things. And as I saw him lying there in the hospital bed, knowing, because as a pastor, I've been in that position many, many times to see people in the hospital in that condition, and I know that there is no recovery. Back in the year 2001, I went through it when I saw my wife there. I've seen other people there. One day I'll be there. One day you'll be there. If not there, it'll happen subtly for us, tragically for others. But we're going to end up in that position of being gone. Hebrews 9:27 in the King James Version says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." I think this is one of the most terrifying verses that many people can ever read in the Bible. Judgment on what, you may ask? Judging me, who's going to judge me? I'm dead. My body is dead. I'm no longer here. My soul is gone. There's nothing after death. Judgment, what are you trying to scare me? What are you trying to frighten me? Judge me. You know what? I just want to say this, not only because the faith teaches it. I was having a conversation after the lousy Laker game last night. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I said, there's a reason that I never retaliate when anyone does anything against me. Because of a Bible verse. The Bible verse says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." You know, God says, don't try to avenge yourself or to be vengeful when people do anything to you. Because if you do anything like that, you're taking the judgment from the only person that is capable of judging in the first place. I was driving home from the hospital yesterday, and while I was driving there, I didn't have any radios on or anything. I didn't want to hear music. I was thinking about my neighbor. I says, oh my gosh, his life is over. He was the first person that I contacted when I lost Lucy in the year 2001. And here it is, 2012. Seems like just yesterday that I called him and told him to come down here. And he came down and he was speaking with me. And then to see him laying on the bed in the emergency room, basically ready to breathe his last because he was dying. And I've watched people die. And I did speak with him. And I don't know whether he heard me. No, I did not go to his hospital bed speaking with him about Jesus, about the Lord, about salvation. Because when you're on your deathbed going through that, trust me, you don't want to hear that. I know that I would not want to hear that. I'm just being truthful with you. I would not want to hear that. When you're in that much pain, and in this case it was, he had just had surgery on a Sunday, and when they opened up the portion, the cancer just, you know how that happens, it just spreads. It just, you can see it. They said that you could see it spreading. And it took him out very, very quick. He had been ill quite a while. I had spoken to him about life and Christianity and all of that many, many years prior to his departing yesterday. And I was thinking about the words that I shared with him. And he had told me in a very nice, congenial way, he said, you know, you're my pastor. I don't have to go to church. He couldn't stand the hypocrites in church, one thing. And I recall telling him, please don't try to weigh or do the hypocrite thing, because God's going to judge us each independently for who we are and what we've done and what our relationship is to him. And he made it perfectly clear that he didn't have anything against the idea of God. It was the thing that he had against people. And he had a very cruel way of dealing with people. Cruel. This man would, if you would mess with him, he would immediately go in the house and get his gun and start walking at a particular angle. And you know what that angle meant. This man was one of those kinds of men. And I often found myself speaking with him and admonishing him not to take such a poor view of his situation, because his situation was of such where he wouldn't deal with people in the right way. And I'm thinking, and I'm pausing because I'm thinking of other people that I know like that. The sinful person, the person that is not a Christian, does not have a place to go to take care of that. Their hatred, their anger, and everything just builds up. Now, yesterday I was watering my lawn, and one of his dear friends came by, whom I know, because, and I shared the information with the neighbors around here that knew him, that he was gone. I had neighbors coming down asking, is it true? Yes. And I was told that at the end he kind of knew that he was dying and that he was bitter. And you couldn't talk with him about getting the bitterness gone. You just couldn't do it. And I know that's difficult. I know that's difficult. I fight bitterness in me. I don't want to be bitter against anyone. People do what they do to you because they're people, and people are horrible when they do things to other human beings. I'm currently not going through anything against myself, but I'm trying to teach lessons to the two young men that stay with me. And I have to teach some severe lessons in a very severe way. And the way is letting them know that all human affection will be removed unless you abide by what is decent. And I'm telling you, people, I want to tell you something. When you're dealing with an unregenerate mind, an unregenerate mind, a mind that cannot comprehend that. It is very, very. It takes all of what the Holy Spirit would do. The reason, you know, I try to share with people, and I want to share with you guys out there, because I got to get ready to go to the college again today, and that does take up so much of my time. Just so much of my time. But I'll probably be called upon to do the funeral, to do the ceremony. And I was speaking with one of my deceased neighbor's friends at the hospital. And I said, I don't judge people, man. When I do eulogies and things like that, I don't get into heaven and hell. I don't do that, because the person, after they're gone, there is no opportunity. You know what? Really, I'd like to think, and I got to tell you guys this truthfully. I was thinking, I said, I want to think that, you know, God has, you know, made a way for this guy because of, you know, the nice things that he's done for his family and the times that I've seen him smile and all the way to the last moments when I was there just stroking his forehead while he was lying on the bed there, trying to give him some kind of human touch, letting the brother know that I love him, that he was loved. And I gotta say this, God help me. God help me. His wife is standing right next to me, and I'm there, and I'm saying, you should be the one rubbing his forehead. You should be the one standing at the head of the bed, talking with him. You should be the one. No, she would not. In the name of God and all that is good, I am... Oh, my goodness. You guys know where I'm coming from on this. I have never seen in my life such a... And I was telling some friends of mine that was over for the game last night. And I told him, I said, I have never seen in my life such putrid hatred amongst people that are married to each other. Married to each other. You living in the same house. To be a sinner is to be the most damnable person. That has to be living a life of misery. Pure misery. The stubborn stupidity of that. I had to tell the woman, you need to be here. I rubbed his forehead while he had this machine in him for about a good 5 minutes while I'm talking with him. And then we were in there and I said, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Not praying for his soul, because it was too late. Praying to let God know that I was grateful for the opportunity to sit down and eat a meal with this gentleman, to laugh with him, to see him when he got his new car, to see how happy he was when he put his specialized plate on his car, to think about the time when he got the promotion on his job, and then he got promoted again because he was a black man and it was difficult for him to get a promotion in that field to. If they ask me to do the ceremony, it's going to be a dignified. Not going to be there talking about where he is in the afterlife. It's none of my business. Though he says that he loves God, I just don't know. I don't know. I didn't see the evidence of the God manifested life in him. I saw... I couldn't stand his hatred. And I want some of you white folk to listen to me, because this man wasn't a very decent man when it came to caring for people of other nationalities. He was Afrocentric to the core and would let you know it. And most things he would see blatant racism and respond to it in like manner. Just something, and see, that alone is troublesome to me because of what the Bible says about loving your neighbor. There was no love. There was no love. Anybody that knew him closely knew that. So I won't be lying, but I'm not going to be testifying. See, you don't have to. I don't want you young ministers to listen to me. It's not your role to judge anybody for eternity. I was speaking with a couple of his friends, and he said, you know, he was calling me from the hospital, and he wanted to talk. And I said to them, did you talk with him? Did you speak with him? Did you? Oh, no, man. I mean, you know, hey, what can I say? Hey, man, I couldn't believe it. I'm having this conversation with one of his dear friends, and they just do that. Just no deep compassion. And when I'm thinking, when I retired last night to go to bed, and I thought, and I said, he's gone. Everything about his life stops. Everything. The way he left his house when he went to the hospital is the way it lies now. Everything, just like that. And he went into eternity. Just that quick. Just that quick. And I know that because I'm a man of God. I've done funerals. I preach about that. I tell people all the time, get it right with God, man. Get it right. You need to stop this madness that you're going through, whatever it is. Excuse me. Let me open up this door. Oh. I think about it often myself because I'm here, and right now I'm in the house alone. And anything could happen. If I could, you know, just fall out in the studio. I got school papers spread out on the floor. The notes that students have sent me. The things in the printers that I haven't even taken out to read. Undone stuff. Because when you die, you're dead, you're gone. My neighbor is never coming back. He's never coming back to the planet. He's gone. The last conversation that he had. Only the nurses know the last conscious thing that he said to them. If I were in his family, I would say, what did he say? Who was the last person that spoke to him? What was his words? What was he thinking? How was he feeling? Did he complain of pain? Did he cry out and say, oh, Jesus, help me. I'm so sorry for everything. Because he had to know that he was dying. And I'm just curious about that. Because if I knew that I were leaving the planet, it's like when I saw death overtake my wife. There's no warning, people. I want to share this with you, and I think it's a good thing to share. I'm going to go into it now. I'm going to go into another Bible verse and Bible commentary and see what they say about it. As it is appointed unto men once to die, or since it is appointed unto men to die only once, that's right. We are here one time and we die one time. This is I know you may not think, oh, I don't want to hear about it. Oh, no, you're going to die too. Yeah, you're going to die too, man. Our lady, you may not want to hear about it. Here's a commentary on it. it says to die once. This is a general rule for all mankind. There have been very rare exceptions. Lazarus of the multitudes who were resuscitated at Christ's resurrection died twice, of course, but those like Lazarus who were raised from the dead by the miraculous act of Jesus were not resurrected to a glorified body and unending life. They only experienced resuscitation. But this commentator goes on and says that when it talks about the judgment, it says a general term encompassing the judgment of all people, not only believers, but of all people. You have to understand what 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, I was thinking yesterday about my neighbor. I said, oh, Lord, please, please have it of such that his judgment came out right. But I can't do that because the Bible says that everybody's going to die one time, and after that, they're going to have to give an account to God for how they lived. I was picking up so much communication about my neighbor that passed away yesterday from a good friend of his, and I said, I just kept finding myself as I was watering the lawn saying, no, no, because I would never, ever do something like that. And I thought about it and I said, oh, the depths of this. And you know what? There were times when I would speak with him and there was one time we were standing out in the front yard talking, and it was right after Obama was elected. And as I do, I'm watering my lawn and he came down and he wanted to talk with me about Barack. And I said, you know what? I didn't vote for him. You should have seen the way he looked at me. He didn't speak with me for 3 weeks. Hatred, man. After he cooled down, and he did, he spoke with me about it. And he kind of said, I'm sorry for the way I blew. I said, no. I said, for you to accuse me of hating black people is ridiculous. I said, but you won't even allow me to think independent of what you think. And then that's when he told me he was going to move from the neighborhood because the racial thing of the neighborhood was changing and he didn't want to be around it. And so he moved into a city that has per capita more blacks in it, in the Los Angeles area, than any city. Getting away from, I mean, that. And I don't understand that. I do not understand racism. I just don't. But God's going to judge us all for whatever we are. And remember, when you eulogize a person, you try to find the good things to say about the person to put on the table. And that's what you do. But what struck me is that death took him so quick. See, my friends, when death takes you, death isn't going to give you a time to get things right. You know, a lot of people, get your house in order. What you mean? If your house ain't in order now, it will not be. If you don't, look, I'm just going to say it to you. If you don't have things floating in the right direction that it should be floating in the right direction right now, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm thinking about this. Hey, I talked to God every day. And I try to tell these boys that stay with me. And my friends that come by, oh, come on, man, you can do this, you can do that. I said, no, you can do that. Because when God comes, he ain't telling you you're going to die the next day. You're going to die tonight. You're going to die on the way to the college, Pastor John. See, he's not telling me that. I know that I could, before I get up and leave this office, I can drop dead right now. I don't know what God has going through my body. I don't know what vein he has, some cartilage in there that he's going to allow to escape to go through a main artery, go up into my brain and kill me instantly. But I will say this thing since I'm alive right now. Jesus, I love you. I've never seen you. I've experienced you in my soul. And I love your Father God. I love what the Holy Spirit does. I love every human being you've let me see. I've tried to do right by everybody. I don't want to hurt nobody, talk against anyone. I even love women, black women. I love them immensely, but they ain't got no business being my pastor because you said it. I'm just being truthful about it, Lord. I love you. If I'm wrong in that area, please hold it not against my charge. And if I should die today, welcome me into your eternal kingdom and show me what else I need to repent of and whom else I have to love before I leave here. Now, let me tell you something. If you pray like that every day of your life, there will be no doubt in my mind when you leave this planet where your soul is headed. But if you get up practicing how to do foul to people. Wait a minute. I want to read verses from my NASB Bible. It says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, that is after that death, it says, comes judgment. Now the comes was put in by the translators. It should read like this, and inasmuch as it is appointed to men to die once, and after this, judgment. That's the way it reads. In other words, boom. The second my neighbor died, just like that, he found himself standing before his maker, giving an account to everything. To absolutely everything. That's how quick it comes. I just saw somebody back out of the driveway to let somebody in or out. And I was talking with one of my deceased neighbor's friends, and I was telling him about who's living in the house, and his face frowned up. And I said, you know what? Y'all ought to stop this because that's that family's decisions. That has nothing to do with you. And I just wanted to hug that man and give him some love. He needed some love. I swear, I cannot understand people who have been blessed by God with materialism, with material goods, because this gentleman made in life more money than I ever have even thought about making. So it wasn't the issue about whether there was a need of the material. This man died with gobs of material. Do you hear me? You're gonna die, and then the judgment is going to come upon you. The same thing was true in regard to the judgment. Man is to be judged once and but one time. The decision of our judgment is going to be final, and it is not to be repeated. You don't get a second chance when you stand before God, or if you stand in at all. You know, everybody talking about, oh, I saw this great light coming and all this kind of, hey, death comes, you know what? A lot of people think, okay, well, I'm going to be resting and I'm going to be sleeping and then I'm going to hear my name call and then I'm going to have time to get myself together. This is no job application for the next life. You are working on the next life in this life right now. I speak to my students in the college and I ask them pointed direct questions. Very, very personal. What are you going to be doing 10, 15, 20 years from now? Are you thinking? Are you thinking about these things? Heck, you know, I speak to my little tenants here in the house trying to shit. Man, basically they tell me, shut up. Don't talk to me about that. I don't know about the future. I don't know about now. I'm not making any preparation for it. I'm just living. You know what they do? They live for the moment. They live for the moment. But when death comes, death ain't taking no holiday. You people better listen to PJ. You heard me during the webcast. And I'll continue that webcast on Theological Tuesdays on next Tuesday. But you heard me during the webcast. When those things happen, that's it. Time is up. Time to clock out, people. Time to clock out. You're not going to have no time to go get mama or go get the pastor. You know, his wife called me because she said, I know what you are to him. I said, yeah, but, you know, I can't do nothing for him now. When I was at the hospital, I said, you know what? He's, for all good purposes, he's done. This man is not going to get up off this bed. I just told the people that were there. He is not going to get up off this bed and do anything. This is it. This is history for him. And I'm not speaking about him in a negative way. I'm speaking in a positive way. Because in a sense, I was jealous that he was there. And I was standing up over him talking about this. Because I want my day to be there to arrive. The judgment day. Do you know how beautiful that is? The day when God can judge you and will judge you. I don't know why this message is so difficult. I guess it would be difficult for a person that doesn't know God. But it's something that I'm really looking forward to close my eyes and never to open them again. For my brain not to be able to function anymore to calculate how much taxes I owe. Because if I die today, I'm owing for the past 2 years. I'm owing. I got credit cards owed, everything. I'm going to leave it all here. My daughters have their own lives. Hope that they can work through the mess. But I'm not trying to pay off nobody. No, I'm not. I haven't done anything illegal. I'm not going to do anything illegal. But I'm not trying to pay off all my debt. Because this is America and that's what people do. People just get stuff and they get it on credit. And then you work and you pay it off. And then when that's gone, you get something else. That's the way we live here. We don't live like regular people do in the third world. Nope. We're the privilege, and I'm telling you, but even in death don't, hey. Let's look at this. This is going to be a final decision, and it will not be repeated. In like manner, there was a fitness that the great Redeemer should die but once, and that his death should, without being repeated, determine the destiny of men. I like what Albert Bourne says in his commentary about Hebrews 9:27. I like that. There was a remarkable oneness in the great event, which most affected men. Jesus died on Calvary one time. What, And what did he die for? We understand this. He died that we may live. And we understand that neither death, the judgment, nor the atonement could be repeated. None of it could. Nor our lives can be repeated. Nothing is going to be repeated. It is done. That's what I was telling the man's wife. For all good and intensive purposes, his life is done. I wasn't being negative. I was being a pastor. This is done. And then I said to her, handle your business. I said, I am at your side since I'm your neighbor. If you need me for any consultation, and I'm not talking about how much insurance and where the money is. Come on, she has family around her. They can take care of that. I'm talking about for spiritual matters. She said, yes, John, that's why I call you, because I know what you were to him. Yeah, okay. See, now what I get out of that is I'll always be a pastor. People are going to call on some pastors. And guess what? When they call on some pastors, they expect, for you young minister types out there, they expect to hear the truth and not see you crying. There ought not be that. Oh my goodness, I did not know what is happening. I just saw, you know what? I just saw take place in front of my house. I just saw a drug deal take place in front of my house. I cannot believe this. I just saw a drug deal take place in front of my house. And it, my goodness. Once to die. Let's see. We shall die but once, and then we shall be judged but once. And judgment succeeds to dying, and then we're going to be judged once, because we can only die once. Because you only have one life to live. This is what I try to tell people. I said, you had best to live that life in a most conducive way that pleases your creator, because you were not created as a hoax or a joke. You see, that's why people try to eliminate or do away with Christianity. They don't want to think that Christianity has any validity to it. Because if you can do away with Christianity, then none of us are going to be joking. Well, you can do that in your head all you want to. God has given each of us a conscience, and you know when you're wrong. I had recently here in the house one of the young lads attempting to play a cruel trick on me, and it cost me a little money, just a little, about $20. And it's a kind of a thing that I, just listen to me, that I would never do to anyone, because I was raised with a conscience, and trust me, sometimes these young people have no scruples at all, none. I'm not surprised when I hear on the news about how these young people kill their own children and sock each other in the head and do all that kind of stuff. They have absolutely, humankind is turning out to be the most scandalous type of individuals. Sometimes you just feel like living alone and arming up yourself to protect yourself against the outside world. I refuse to live that way. Living that way is I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how I'm going to end up. I really do. Not wondering if life is worth the living. I'm just wondering how I'm going to end up in these situations. Well, my neighbor is dead. Never to walk down the street the way he does. Never to wear those beautiful suits that he had. To drive that beautiful foreign car that he loved dearly. Never to see his child again that he loved immensely. Never, ever again. People, death is serious. I want to end up this webcast by, oh, I didn't read verse 28. I'm sorry. Verse 27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment," look at verse 28. "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many." Now you notice he said the sins of many, not of all. See, he didn't come here to bear everybody because everybody ain't going to allow him to carry those sins. A lot of people are going to keep their own sins to themselves. They're going to bear it themselves. Then he says, "shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin." Now, who? To my neighbor? I don't know. But the end of the verse tells me who he's going to appear the second time for. To those who eagerly await him. Do you get it? See, if my neighbor knew that it was going to come like that, and if he were eagerly awaiting him, there would have been that evidence or that token of that anxiety of waiting for Christ. I don't know, in a crazy evangelical sense, you know, I wish I had one more opportunity to speak with him, but it wouldn't do any good because he'd curse me out. He would curse me out. If he were conscience in that hospital room, and if I had gone earlier, and I would say, "Hey, look, man, just let me say this one more," he would say, "Get the hell up out of here, man. Don't come here with that." That's what he would have said. I don't judge anybody. All I know, I told you people, and I've been telling you, and I hope that you get the message that I've been putting out. You better do this life on your own. You have family and friends and people that you know. Do this life on your own. Nobody's going to be able to help you when you come to that point, to dying. Oh, yeah. Going to be judged once because you die once. And I see the correlation between men dying and Christ dying. Christ died since he lived to please the Father. He arose never to die again. When men die, if they live because they love the Father, they will arise never to die again. Well, I think I've said enough because one of the crumb snatchers are walking up to the front door. And I've done a good job in talking with you and running this. Please be careful. I'm in the middle of a webcast. I hope that I'm able to enlighten you about these kinds of things, and hope that these kinds of things will bring home to your remembrance your obligation and without intimidation. Let's see, put it that way. I don't rightly know whether it's good to say to pray for anybody in this situation, because there's an old rock and roll record that sounds like this, and I'm not being facetious. It's too late, baby, it's too late. That's about it. Because now is the time. You know what the Bible tells me? Now is the day of salvation. You know what it says? The day you hear God's voice, respond to it. The day you hear my voice, that's what God says. The day you hear it. And you want to know what the problem is? A lot of us can't hear his voice because other voices have crowded him out. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman studio on this day, the 16th of May. Couple more weeks left for school, and then that's done. And I have to go down to the college today and teach another class, so it's been great. I really appreciate you sitting in and listening to this webcast. You have a good day. And sure, I'd love to hear some comments from many of you. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.